Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. It's great to be back with you once again and to share from the Word of God and from our ministry experience that which God has got for us today. You know, it's been sunny here in Dallas, Texas. Temperatures ranging from 90 to 102 Fahrenheit. But, you know, we have weather like that. I remember when I lived in Nigeria, the weather was scary, very hot. And driving in the in Lagos by Akeja, you're back-to-back, bumper-to-bumper cars, and it's hot, and man, people take off their shirts as they drive, and the roads are like, you see like vaporization happening on the highway. But all to say that, you know, that's how life is. I remember also when I lived in Tulsa, I never knew Tulsa would be so hot. It can be hot, and then it can freeze, you know, temperatures just freezing. Well, beloved ones, it's once again Bishop Mwamba here. Today, as you've seen on my title, it's entitled if you look at what I, you know, put forward, it's entitled Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba, and got my wife's name there, Tarina Mwamba, present. Making a decision. Making a decision. Now, this is a very important teaching, which I believe in times like this, where sometimes we have to make instant decisions, it's very, very important just how we do it. Instant decisions. You know, there are decisions we make on, number one, who we're going to marry in our lives. Number two, where we're going to work, where we're going to live. Number three, maybe even the country of residence, that's part of where we're going to live. We got to make decisions of what kind of job we're going to have, what career are we going to have. We're going to make decisions on, you know, what kind of family are we going to have? How many children? You know, like when I was growing up, you know, like in Zambia, our parents never had like family planning. How many kids are we going to have? They just had kids. I know in our family there were 11 of us, although now there is only 4 remaining. The rest have gone on into eternity to be with the Lord, as I believe, by God's grace. But the point is, you can plan how many children, family you're going to have. Then you plan what kind of home you want. Are you going to live in a condo, townhouse, or you're going to have a big home? What kind of car are you going to drive? Today I was looking at how millionaires think, and it was a post posted by business guys who survey millionaires. And some of the things that they were sharing were very touching, like the decisions that millionaires make as pertains to, for example, how they spend their money, number one. Number two, what kind of car they're going to drive. Number three, what business is going to. The one thing that hit me was that usually millionaires are self-dependent. They don't wait for nobody. They say, number one, when you work for somebody, you always live in fear because you don't know. Maybe you're going to be fired the next morning. You got to dance the tune of your boss. You got to please somebody all the time. That's what this article said. Then it said that also, apart from pleasing your boss, the money you make goes to his pocket. But they say these millionaires, they made a decision early in life or whatever time when it hit them, that they can become entrepreneurs. They started entrepreneuring and started business. And their decision was they don't want to work for nobody, but they want to work for themselves. They said as they worked for themselves, they found their fulfillment in the what they did. They said many times when you work for another person or another company, you don't get that total fulfillment, but you get a fulfillment when you do your own thing. You run your own business. You know, you open your own business. And then in this article, they said the decisions these big millionaires make, they also look at the fact that, you know, when you have your own business, money will come straight into your pocket. Then you put it into the bank. Then you got leverage to make decisions over your money. Then they said, you know, how did they start to become so big? They said millionaires, those who start to become big in making money, he said they do the things other people don't want to do. They want to do jobs that people don't want to do, like maybe getting into a franchise. He says because it takes a lot of hard work, but they are ready to sacrifice of themselves. They do jobs which others think there is no money-making thing. He says they survey the market, and they go to the hot spot and open these businesses. But you see, the whole fact of the matter is it takes decision. You make a decision, and when you make a decision, things happen. The decision you make can either make or break you. That's the bottom line, make or break you. So what decision are we going to make in our lives? That's very important. Now, the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter number 3, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall bring it to pass, or he will cause the things to happen. The other scripture, the other Bible says, you straighten your crooked ways. So, in making a decision in your life, you got to trust in the Lord. That's point number one. Very important. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, one thing I've discovered myself is in making decisions is that as you walk every day with the Lord, as you converse with the Lord, you know you can converse with the Lord every day at all times. It's not that you got to get into your secret chamber, kneel down and pray. No, you can talk to God when you're driving. You can listen to teachings about the Lord by preachers like Creflo Dollar, maybe, or Roberts, Richard Roberts, whoever, who is your favorite preacher, where you get and, you know, get edified and get built up in the faith. So you can, in a way, have all these things that can keep your spirit alive. The point of the matter is, once your spirit is alive, you are able to communicate with the Holy Ghost, who links you up with the Lord Jesus and God the Father, so that when you are at an instantaneous moment of making a decision, it will just come right away like that. You make a decision and it will be right there. What do I mean? There are decisions, for example, when you are shopping, right? Something pops at you and you say, hey, can I buy this suit? Can I buy these shoes? Can I buy these shirts? Now, you look into your budget. Maybe you didn't even plan to come and shop for that thing. But because you're making some what they call impulse decisions, you spend more money than you were expecting to spend. I work in retail, you know, and in retail we have what we call the impulse section. Now, whenever you go in a shop like the Walgreens or the Walmart or whatever shop stores, 7-Eleven, CVS, whatever, as you get to the checking register to check out, there is always shelves of candies and, you know, snacks, different kinds of snacks, which are in easy reach, payday. You have all these chocolate candies and stuff like that. Now, these things are put there because you are about to check out, and they are in very bright colors, you know. When you see them, it pops and triggers something inside you. And within an instant, you weren't planning to get that payday chocolate. You weren't prepared to get those Twix. You weren't prepared to get the Reese's. You weren't prepared to get the fudge, whatever it is, but because it popped in your eye, it triggered something in your spirit, and you make a decision to buy at least 3 bars of Payday, and then you go. You see, it's called impulse purchase. It's an impulse. It's a decision you make in an instant. It just works within your system, and you make a decision. Now, there are such decisions. You cannot make impulse decisions on important things in your life. You can't make important impulse decisions of who you're going to marry. Because if you marry the wrong person, it's going to land you in great trouble for the rest of your life. You cannot make an impulse decision on what job you want to do. Although while you're searching for the right job, you can do every scanty kind of dirty job there is. Because you got to stay in money into your hands. You see, so do not shun jobs that are demeaning in a way where they're below your standard of educational training. Do it to get to the big thing that you're planning to do in life. See, so you get that job. If it means working in, and making hamburgers, do it. There's nothing wrong with that. If it means cooking, you see, in my life, I wasn't so used to cooking. But when I went to Bible school in a seminary in Massachusetts for my Master of Divinity degree program, I had a work scholarship. They gave me $10,000 as a scholarship to go to the seminary. But then I had to do. I got into what they call like a work scholarship, where I can still earn more money and pay towards my studies, my tuition, and books and stuff. So I was assigned to work with in the cafeteria, student cafeteria, where students go get their food and eat and all that. So I was assigned to work with the cooks. So I was in the cafeteria washing dishes, and these are machines that wash these dishes. But it's hot water, it's steamy, and it's hot. And I had to prepare salads, I had to prepare the side tables, I had to prepare snacks, I had to be there, get the proper things, the food, bananas, apples, and things into the plates of the students, whatever they so require. So it took a lot of discipline. I didn't say, hey, look, I never did some cooking like this. I can't do it. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I had to adjust myself and get onto doing it because it was part and parcel of the requirement for my scholarship and training there in Massachusetts at the seminary. So this is the same thing with us. When we are about to make a decision, make sure you make a decision that is not going to infringe on your life, that is going to not cause problems for you. Now, like for example, if you want to buy a house, be very careful. Choose the right, you know, area where you want to get a house, especially like in the United States of America. The area you live in is very important. There are high crime areas and there are low crime areas. There are areas where you live in the precincts of the county where the schools are not that good, maybe because maybe some teachers or whatever are lax, or it's in a place where people take a laissez-faire attitude towards education. So whatever the call, whatever, you know, area you think would be profitable for your family, that's the place you need to take to train yourself to move there and then buy a house and live with the family. Decisions all the time is decisions. What apartment are you going to live in? Here in America, we have different levels of apartments and they are expensive like crazy. Some of the apartments to live in a month rent will cost you close to $2,000, $1,500. I know I lived in Frisco with a friend of mine, and the rent was $1,200. But we shared to make it possible for us to pay for the rent. So you can get a mortgage. There was a guy here who was selling a townhouse for $123,000. See, you can buy a home like in the United States. You can buy maybe a townhouse for $80,000 to $125,000. The higher the cost, the better maybe the apartment. But the one, this townhouse which this guy was selling, a professor, was nice. It had golden taps. It had nice floors, wooden floors. It had nice decoration. It was clean. It was done up, new carpeting and everything. $123,000. But you see, we were planning on getting it. As we were in the process, some other people came and bought it. But these are things which you need to put in thought. When you're making big decisions, they go with the big planning. You cannot have scanty planning and make big decisions. You have decisions to match up with the life you want to live. So in making decisions, many times the Lord will quicken in your spirit what you need to do. You must have peace about it. You know, there are instant decisions, like, for example, decisions to help people in certain things. You must look at how much time do I have, you know, to do this. You know, there are people who are naturally inclined to say yes to everything, no matter if it's going to infringe on their time or they're going to have a hard time getting things done. They'll say yes because it's part of their nature just to say yes. But I've come to learn that we can say no. You know, when you see that you do not have time to do something, just say no. I don't have the ability to do it. Then we also have situations where people, that mostly here in America, it's very rare you get something for free. There is rarely no free education, number one. Number two, there is rarely no free home, rent-free. I mean, in countries of the world, you don't get rent-free. You're going to pay something. But you see, the mentality to expect free things all the time, it's not a good mentality, because it's going to destroy your personnel, the way you think. You think of free. Oh, they're going to give me some shoes. Oh, they're going to give me a car. Oh, they're going to give me a house. Oh, they're going to give me food. Oh, see, if you're going to be on what they call the line where you get free stuff, life will not be that challenging and it won't be that easy. So you have to make decisions that propel you to the top, decisions that cause you to work hard and achieve things in your life. I have worked in jobs here in America whereby, like in my country, in Zambia, when I was in Zambia, I never worked any night shift. But when I came to the United States, I worked night shift. I would go at 11 and finish at 7 in the morning. And I would stand for hours. I was not used to standing for hours like that. And so I bent my feet so bad. They pained me like crazy. Eventually, I came to find out how to put on certain shoes to adjust myself with the long hours of standing in the night. Then I never realized when you work in the night, in some places, it's also dangerous, you know. And through my working time, two times I've been held up at gunpoint. God protected me through and through that. I thank God I'm alive. Every time the police came, the last time I was held up, they closed off the whole store, you know. And, you know, the guys that ran it, they were young men wearing masks, but armed to the teeth. They had a gun to my head, and they wanted me to give them money. But thank God the keys were somewhere else. As we were going back to get the keys, I managed to slip out of their sight and ran away from the scenery for safety. So this is what it is. Our God will give you a timely inspiration to make a decision in your life. It will happen just like that. So it's important for you to know that God will help you make decisions in life. I know. You might say, well, Bishop Mamba, I've made bad decisions and bad things have happened to me. I don't know what I can do. I think the best way you can do is to stick with it for a while. Say, for example, if it's a job, don't quit your job and say, hey, well, you know what, I'm going to quit and get another job. No, you quit to get another job once you find that other job. But if you don't have that other job, quitting is not wise to do so. There are certain things you can adjust. You can adjust on your career, you see. You can adjust in college. Maybe you chose, they give you, I think, in the first semester, they give you time to make a proper choice of what degree of study you want to take up. You see, you can change your discipline of study or what degree you want to study at the university or at the college. So it's important as a child of God to know that whenever you make a decision, there's somebody you can call upon. And that somebody is God. You can always call upon God, and he's going to hear you, and he will answer you and grant you your heart's desires. This is very, very important. You have to know that. So overall, I've made decisions in my life. Sometimes when you make decisions, you do not know what will happen. That's why I say be careful what you pray, because you're going to have what you ask for. I remember many times a long time ago when I made a decision that I'm going to travel abroad, and I wanted very much to come to the United States. I never knew what it would involve. Many things you don't know what it will involve. But I just trusted God. I said, the Lord knows what is best for me. The Lord knows, and he's going to grant my heart's desire. And so here I am, still working on his grace to see how the Spirit of the Lord is going to work and eventually grant me my heart's desires. It takes a while, you know, to get some of these things working. Like the vision, like I said, for Moses, it took him years before he finally got it going. So it will take years sometimes for you. It will take time for you to achieve the things that you so desire in your life. They don't just pop out of the microwave like the way we microwave popcorn or microwave, whatever we want to microwave. Life is a series of decisions. And the better the decisions you make, the more decisions you make rightfully, with the precision, these are things that will last in your life. They will change the way you live. They will change your focus. They will even change your life. For example, you make a decision to become a businessman. I've registered a company here in America, Amchili Imports and Exports, but we're still working to get the proper funding to have it flying into success. I've registered ministries, which we are working on. And step at a time, we're going to get to the finish line. My point is, let your decisions be with wisdom. Don't rush to make decisions which will bring you a burden in life that you have problems to come out of. Make decisions that will bring peace in your life and blessing for you and your family. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, signing off and saying I'm going to talk to you again. God bless you. It was nice talking to you, and we'll see you again, because I'm going to be on to the broadcast again. God bless you, and bye-bye.